smoke.
I'm on the Oslo Underground, a train which could easily be driving itself, yet it still has a human at the controls. We seem inherently reluctant to let the machines do what they're already capable of doing. Look at all this skepticism surrounding self-driving cars. It could be because of that science fiction-induced fear of the machines taking over. But I'm on my way to the University of Oslo to see a guy who believes machines taking over and thinking for themselves can be a good thing.
Please mind the gap.
It's testing various variations of its original movement pattern.
Kyrre Glette is an associate professor at the University of Oslo's Research Group for Robotics and Intelligent Systems. He and his team are working on a family of robots capable of figuring out for themselves the best way of moving around on a floor. Glette's robots are made by linking sausage-shaped plastic body parts using little servo engines as joints. Their structure is very basic, but the way they learn to move is not.
Here you can see the robots being simulated. So it starts off with very simple combinations of these sausages and simple motors that can move them.
Before actually making the robots, a computer program simulates which combinations of shapes and ways of moving will work best in the real world. It's basically artificial evolution.
So you can see that the computer tries out lots of different solutions which are not performing very well, mostly just standing in place and wiggling their legs, but eventually there are some solutions that manage to move forward just a tiny little bit. Those solutions are then used for coming generations. Eventually you get better and better solutions.
So how long does it take before, the starting point here, with a little couple of the sausages wiggling around, to you've actually got a model that's worth actually making in real life?
We could get a solution in a couple of hours.
Once the computer has figured out an efficient model, it tells a 3D printer to make the parts. All the robotics team needs to do is stick it together.
So is it now constantly improving and adapting to the environment it's in?
Yes, it tries out the original movement, and if it finds it's not as good as expected, then it will try to do minor modifications.
So if you project this into the future when the technology is matured and you've got onboard computing power, this could learn a new environment, learn topography and adapt all the time and move in places where maybe humans can't go.
That's what we hope for, yes.
Impressive as these systems might be, they're still limited to work within the parameters we humans give them. In the future, Kyrre Glette's robots might figure out how to get around unexpected obstacles or even 3D print new body parts to do so. But they're not going to get ideas above their station, so to speak, and start printing weapons in order to take over the world.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Perhaps the most famous artificial intelligence scare scenario in modern popular culture, the computer HAL 9000 taking control of a space mission by getting rid of the humans in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. But that can't happen, right?
The primitive forms of artificial intelligence we already have proved very useful.
The unmistakable computer voice of Professor Stephen Hawking, talking to the BBC last December. He is worried about the machines taking over, and he's among a growing number of renowned scientists and computer experts warning us about what might lie ahead.
Once humans develop artificial intelligence, it would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. Humans couldn't compete and would be superseded.
Do you give them names, or how do you differentiate?
Yeah, this is number four.
Okay.
Back at the robotics lab at the University of Oslo, Professor Kyrre Glette isn't getting overly emotionally attached to his creations. He does often wonder about the future of artificial intelligence, though. But knowing what it takes to get a simple sausage-like robot to figure out the best way of moving across a carpeted floor, he's not particularly worried about the future.
There are lots of things happening in like self-driving cars and Google telling you like when to take next train home. But we see that there is also this kind of complexity challenge. I don't think there is any real breakthrough at the moment. I think we'll get smarter and smarter solutions, but no kind of real human-like intelligence anytime soon.
The robotics team at the University of Oslo hope that someday their robots could help us humans where we cannot go ourselves. They could enter a nuclear disaster zone and solve any unexpected problems by adapting to their environment, perhaps even printing new tools or body parts in the process. But the leap from that scenario to one of computers deciding they're smarter than us and acting on it is, hopefully, some time off. Lars Bevanger, DW, at the University of Oslo.